And let me invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and today we are going to resume our study of the book of Revelation by looking at chapter 12. And actually, I would like to read two passages of Scripture, Revelation chapter 12, and I want to turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, and read a few verses from Matthew's Gospel as well. So we will begin in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. Before we hear God's word, let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you and give you praise for your goodness and kindness and your love toward us. We thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, whom you gave to be our Savior. And we thank you for the Spirit, whom you have sent into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Father, we pray now for your Spirit to bring illumination to our minds, that we may have a right understanding of your word, and open our hearts that we may believe what Scripture teaches and give us the grace to obey what it commands. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 12 and beginning in verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains in the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. And now the gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 1 and beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who had been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. This is the word of God. Now, what we have just read in the Gospel is St. Matthew's account of the nativity of Christ. And Matthew, in chapter 1, begins with the genealogy of Christ. He starts with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and traces their lineage down through David and Solomon all the way to Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. And then he tells us how Herod, the king, tried to destroy the child after his birth. But the child was saved by God's intervention. As a result, Herod became furious, and he killed all the male children in Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under. The weeping and lamentation of the Israelites because of this slaughter is then metaphorically described as Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they were no more. Now, that is the account of the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew's Gospel. What I want you to see this morning is that Revelation chapter 12 gives us another account of the nativity, the same nativity, the nativity of Christ. Matthew records the history of the nativity of Christ from an earthly viewpoint. He describes the events of the nativity as they were witnessed by the eyes of man. He tells us about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, Solomon, Joseph, Mary, Jesus, Herod, the wise men, and so on. the nativity of Christ is told from an earthly point of view in Matthew. He recounts the people, places, and events of the nativity from a human perspective. Revelation 12, on the other hand, records the same history of the nativity of Christ from the divine perspective. In other words, it recounts the events of the nativity as they were witnessed by the eyes of heavenly beings. It is the same nativity told in Matthew, but it is told from a heavenly viewpoint. What Matthew describes as the genealogy of Christ from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and Solomon, down to Joseph and Mary, Revelation describes as a pregnant woman, clothed with the sun, enthroned in heaven, with the moon under her feet as her footstool, and wearing a crown of 12 stars on her head. Matthew describes the genealogy of Christ from an earthly viewpoint, a human perspective as seen by the eyes of man, but Revelation depicts the same genealogy from a heavenly viewpoint, a divine perspective, as seen by the eyes of heavenly beings. It is the same thing described from a different perspective, a mystical perspective, we might say. The apocalypse is a revelation. It is an unveiling. That's what the word apocalypse means. It is a revelation of a veiled reality, a hidden reality, a veiled reality. It draws back the curtain and enables us to see the unseen realm and to look at the same events of history from a heavenly perspective. Now, who is the woman in Revelation chapter 12? It is the Blessed Virgin Mary who has conceived Christ in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it is not Mary alone. It is Mary at the end of the genealogy of Christ, which includes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, and Solomon, and so on. All of those figures in Matthew chapter 1 come into view and are symbolically depicted in Revelation chapter 12 in the sign of the woman. The divine promise about Abraham's seed and David's seed has come to its fruition and fulfillment in the Blessed Virgin, who by the Holy Spirit carries in her womb the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Everything you see recorded in Matthew chapter 1 is mystically or symbolically depicted in the woman in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12 recounts the history of the nativity of Christ, but it removes the veil. It pulls back the veil so that we can see that history from the divine perspective. And so when verse 2 of Revelation 12 tells us that the woman was, quote, crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth, we ought not only think of the suffering of Mary in the event of Christ's birth, but rather of the suffering of God's people throughout redemptive history as they awaited the birth of the Messiah, who would deliver them from the curse and corruption of the cosmos that resulted from the fall of Adam and Eve. St. Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know, Paul says, that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. The whole creation, being subjected to corruption because of sin and death, has been groaning since the fall of humanity in the pains of childbirth, and has been waiting with eager longing for the revelation of the new creation at the end of the age. Well, that new creation dawned with the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the first fruits of that new creation. And like the cosmos in general, the people of God in particular, to whom the promise of redemption came, waited with eager longing and groaned in the pains of childbirth, as it were, until the promised Messiah arrived in the fullness of time. Only then did they receive comfort. Only then did they receive consolation. Now, you might think, for example, here of St. Simeon in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, who was a righteous and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. When Simeon saw Joseph and Mary bringing their child when he was 8 days old into the temple to receive circumcision, Simeon took the child up in his arms, and he blessed God, saying, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And so the salvation that God prepared for all peoples through the child that Simeon held in his arms was the consolation that Simeon waited for. Until the birth of Christ, Simeon and all devout Israelites were waiting for that consolation. They were, symbolically speaking, groaning in the pains of childbirth, awaiting the one who would deliver them from sin and death. And that, you see, is the image that we have in Revelation chapter 12 of the woman. And look at verse 2 again. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. That is a mystical message. It is a symbolical way of depicting the suffering of humanity because of the corruption of humanity and of the cosmos because of the reign of sin and death. The child born of this woman, this new Eve, so to speak, came to destroy death. He came to crush the head of the ancient serpent who deceived the first woman, the first Eve in the garden, through whom he brought death into the world. Now, one of my favorite works of Christian art is the one that is sometimes titled Mary Comforts Eve. If you have never seen this painting, you can Google it sometime. On one side, it depicts Eve holding the forbidden fruit, and her face is downcast, it is sorrowful, and she is entangled by the serpent, wrapped around her legs. And on the other side of the painting is a pregnant woman, the Virgin Mary. And she is consoling Eve by taking Eve's hand and placing it on her tummy. She's great with child. Eve, in that depiction anyhow, witnesses the fulfillment of the promise in Genesis 3:15, that her seed, her offspring, would crush the head of the serpent. Now, in the image, under Mary's feet is the serpent's head being crushed. Now, of course, to interpret the image properly, biblically, we need to understand the symbolism here. It's not Mary who crushes the head of the serpent. It's the child in her womb who crushes the serpent's head. But if the child were not in her womb, the serpent's head would not have been crushed. It is only by being born of the Virgin Mary that Christ assumes a human nature without which he cannot destroy death. Christ destroys death by dying. He tramples down death by death. It is through death that he destroys the one who has the power of death. That's the devil. And so, were he not conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, he could not have crushed the serpent's head. But there's another thing we also need to understand to rightly interpret the image and also the vision in Revelation chapter 12, and that's this. The pregnant woman is not only the Blessed Virgin Mary. She mystically, she symbolically represents the people of God as a whole. And the serpent, who is decisively and definitively defeated by Christ, the offspring of the woman, on the cross, that serpent is also crushed under our feet because we are crucified with Christ. As St. Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 16, that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. He will be crushed under our feet because he was crushed under the feet of Christ, and we are united to Jesus Christ, and therefore we share in his victory over Satan. We share his victory over death. We share his victory over Hades. We share his victory over sin. And that's what Revelation chapter 12 teaches us. Christ conquers Satan. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah who has conquered. He conquers Satan. But we also conquer Satan, Revelation 12 says. We conquer him. We overcome him. Verse 11, by the blood of the Lamb. For we are crucified with him. We are crucified with Christ and raised together with him to newness of life. Now, we have noted that Revelation chapter 12 is a mystical account of the nativity of Christ. What is recorded in Matthew's gospel, chapters 1 and 2, is recorded in Revelation chapter 12, but from a different viewpoint. We have seen how the genealogy of Christ in Matthew 1 is mystically, it's symbolically depicted in the sign of the woman in Revelation chapter 12. But let's look now at how Matthew chapter 2, which we also read earlier, is mystically or symbolically depicted in the sign of the dragon of Revelation chapter 12. Verse 3 says, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. The dragon, verse 4 says, stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she gave birth to her child, he might destroy it. Now remember, as we noted earlier, Matthew and Revelation both recount the same history. They recount the same history of the nativity of Jesus. Matthew, from an earthly perspective, describes the events of the nativity as they were seen by the eyes of man, but Revelation, from a heavenly perspective, recounts the nativity as seen by the eyes of heavenly beings. Revelation 12 covers the same events, but it pulls back the veil. It draws back the curtain, and it enables us to see those events from a divine perspective, to see them as they were seen from a heavenly perspective. In Matthew chapter 2, we see Herod, the king. And what is he doing? Well, he's attempting to destroy the child of this woman. He's trying to find out where this child is from the wise men. He wants them to come back and to tell him where the child is. Why? Because he wants to kill this baby. But God intervenes. God intervenes and he thwarts his plans and he saves the child. He saves the child by removing the child from Herod's grasp. And Herod becomes furious. He's enraged. And he turns his fury toward the male children, all the male children in Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, and he has them slain. And then Rachel, Israel, metaphorically speaking, is seen weeping for her children and refuses to be comforted because they are no more. That, you see, is what happened in Bethlehem when Christ was born. And Matthew describes those events as seen by the eyes of human beings. Revelation describes the same thing from a different perspective. Revelation pulls back the veil for us to see what was going on, what was really going on. Well, Revelation tells us that behind Herod in Matthew chapter 2 was the dragon. It was the dragon. It was the dragon waiting for the child to be born so that he might destroy it. It was the devil behind Herod who wanted to destroy Christ. And God intervenes, however, and he thwarts his plans because, as Revelation puts it, the child is caught up into heaven, to the throne of God, so that he is now out of the dragon's grasp. Now, that ultimately, of course, refers to the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Herod's attempt, you see, to destroy Christ was the first of a series throughout the life of Christ of Satan's plan to destroy him. which plan culminated with the crucifixion of Christ. And it is by means of dying on the cross, however, that Christ destroyed Satan. Christ defeated Satan by his death on the cross. But when the child in Revelation chapter 12 is caught up to the throne of God and therefore beyond the reach of the dragon, what does the dragon do? Well, the dragon, just exactly like Herod does, becomes furious. And he directs his rage, his fury, toward the woman. And when he can't get to the woman, what does he do? He tries to destroy the rest of her offspring. Why did Herod have all of the male children 2 years old and under in Bethlehem slain? It was the fury of the dragon trying to destroy the offspring of the woman. Who's the woman again? It is Israel. Who are the children of Israel? It's the children slain in Bethlehem. It's Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. You see, Revelation is giving us the behind-the-scenes viewpoint of what happened in the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is showing us the spiritual reality that can't be seen by the eyes of man. It's showing us the spiritual reality behind the events that are recorded in the Gospels. Now, that same conflict with Satan attempting to destroy the child of the woman continues throughout the Gospel. It continues throughout the Gospels until it culminates with the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is how Christ defeats the serpent. It's how he crushes his head. But once the child is caught up to the throne of God, to heaven, the serpent still continues his plan. He takes his fury out on the woman and then goes after the rest of her offspring. And that same spiritual battle continues today. You don't see it that way because we look at it through the eyes of man. But if the veil can be pulled back, this is what has been going on since the beginning of the Christian church. And so, friends of God, we need to see things as Revelation reveals them to us. This is the reality. This is the hidden reality. It is a veiled reality, but we have it revealed to us in the apocalypse.